When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Adventures of Bradley and Dawn on My Talk 107.1. We do entertainment here, and sometimes we think it's entertaining to see what you do in your homes. With cameras or anything creepy like that.
Why you gotta make it creepy? We just want to know what item of clothing they like to take off when they come through the door.
Like, you cannot wait. You're in the car, you're sweating because you had to just shovel yourself out of a snow ditch, and then you're like, I cannot wait to get this blank off. That didn't sound great.
651-641-1071. That's the number. Call us. Why didn't it sound great?
I don't want to repeat it.
Okay, fine.
Okay.
Why are we asking?
I'm asking because I think it's something that happens in the winter, especially because we're bundled up in so many clothes. Or maybe it's just like you can't wait to put your purse down because it weighs a million pounds.
Ugh,
you know?
I hate that.
It's so heavy, and I don't even, like, what's in this thing?
All of my notions.
What is it for you?
Pants.
Your pants.
Yeah, I mean, other than my shoes, which come off first, because otherwise I get, you know, I hear, like, take your shoes off! So I take my shoes off.
Oh, my God. It's Jamie,
yeah,
apparently.
Well, it's not Louise.
Take your shoes off!
Yes. Basically. walking through the house with your shoes on again! Okay, fine. Anyway, pants. So I take my pants off, and I don't take my top off ever.
Your top?
No.
your sports vest?
Yeah.
I need to get my toes out. I've got to get my toes out of the socks I'm wearing. Of course, we take our shoes off in the garage. You should see the shoe pile.
What?
It's ridiculous.
In the garage? Oh, you must have an attached garage.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But it's like there's
in the city
we
don't have those, so you have to walk from your garage to your home if you have a garage.
Oh, I see. Okay, we take them off in the garage, and then it's like I need to get those socks off and put new socks on. It's just I need my toes to breathe for a second.
Got to get them piggies out. We got four people on the line.
Oh my God.
Let's go to Susan. Susan is on the line. What you taking off, Susan?
My bra.
Let it out.
We knew
First
we would get calls.
Set those girls free.
Set those girls free. Now, do you put on another bra at home, or do you just free bra it?
Nope, I put pajamas on. I'm a home care nurse, and so when I get home, I gotta take off the dirty clothes and put pajamas on.
Yes.
All right, put them pajamas on. Thanks, Susan.
Thank you.
Cindy's on the line. Should we go to Cindy?
Yeah. Cindy, what do you need to take off immediately when you get home?
Apparently,
her personality,
her attitude. Don't say personality. We didn't hear her personality.
She did. She removed her personality.
She just was like, bye. She's like, I'm taking off this call. Heather's on the line. Let's let Heather. Maybe we'll be nicer to Heather, and Heather will be nicer to us.
You weren't mean to her.
I know.
Heather. Hello, Heather.
Hi.
What do you have to take off right away when you get home?
Everything.
Whoa!
You take off
all the
clothes.
And I shower. I put on clean jammy clothes, and then the night. That's it.
You actually
every day.
You shower when you get
every
home.
Every day.
Every day.
How
Before
many...
dinner, everything. Yep.
You know, that's interesting because, I know someone in my life who showers in the evening very frequently, and that's.
Mm-hmm.
Have you always done that in your
no.
life? Okay.
I was a morning shower person, and then I met my spouse, and then he showered after work, like after dinner, but just probably the last 2 years. Every day I get home, I jump in the shower, I get my good clothes, you know, the comfy clothes, then you make dinner, and then you chill. That's it.
There is something genius to that, right? Because then you go to bed clean.
Yeah.
Or not, if you're doing a lot of cleaning stuff between, but it doesn't matter. It makes me feel better.
What are you doing in between?
What's going on in between there, Heather?
I see. Well, that's a great answer. Thank you so
much
for calling.
And we're taking things off on the phone. And Dawn, what are you wearing? No, that's not awkward. Dawn, what's the thing you're taking off when you get home, honey?
Oh, my answer was taken, but my bra. And sometimes I don't even make it home. It's when I hit the car.
Oh, yes,
you take
girl.
Your bra off in
yes,
the car?
I've done that. I've done that because it's so uncomfortable.
While I'm driving, it is off.
You take it off and then you slip it out of your sleeve, right?
Yes.
Yeah, this is a technique that women know how to do. We kind of.
I'm sure a few men know how to do too, but, you know, for different reasons. Yeah.
I don't even need to really wear one, but I have to because society says so. But I hate them. I hate them.
You hate them.
I'm sorry about it, but I'm glad you get those. You get it out when.
You get them out. At the stoplight. Oh, my gosh.
Thanks, Dawn. I just imagine if you want to join us, 651-641-1071, what's the thing you can't wait to take off when you walk through the door or you're in your car on the way home? I was just going to say, like, I have this image of, like, that stripper music.
The old-timey one. My MC has pants in the living room.
Your man.
Yeah, my male companion, my man crush. He has jeans on the living room couch. Like, he takes his pants off. He can't even wait to get to the bedroom. He takes
his pants off. He changes into jeans?
He changes out of his pants, but, like, he has jeans waiting to put on, and they're in the living room.
No, I think my question is, so that's perfectly, like, efficient, right? Just have the pants ready?
It's right there.
But he sits around the house in jeans?
No. He sits around in pajama pants. But if he has to go out, because he works from home.
Oh, got it.
And most of the time he goes in a couple days a week. But
got it. You're saying that the jeans are for, like, putting on.
He would never, for instance, go out of the home in, like, even to the mailbox without jeans on.
Oh, God.
I go to the mailbox and in
I walk the
pajama
dog.
Pants.
If you, like, if somebody came across me walking my dog in the morning, they would want to call someone to come get me.
Oh, no.
Because I look completely disheveled.
You look like you've escaped.
I look like I am, like, I've been living in a basement for about 40 years and haven't seen the light of day because I probably haven't shaved. I haven't done my hair. I haven't applied, you know, six layers of cover up and waxed.
And you're, at least there's
that,
this.
You know what I mean?
You're not smoking anymore.
Thank God. Well,
What?
Smoking. Oh, you mean actually smoking?
Like smoking a cig, because that makes it look even worse.
I would have back in the day.
Yeah, back in the day.
Yeah, but
sure.
Not anymore. Should we go to D?
Yeah.
She's been patiently waiting. Oh. D, honey, what are you taking off, sweetie?
Okay, well, I'm laughing at half the crap you're talking about. I go walk my dog in the morning in my robe, so I could care less.
Good for you.
Yes, D.
Okay, but when I get home, and I'm not saying I do it immediately, I, you know, do other things around the house, but I take everything off, take a hot bubble bath, and put my pajamas on.
You take a...
I want to be in my pajamas.
Oh,
I love it.
Me too. I
and
think
I
it's
love
just
the bubble
pajama
bath.
Life.
I'm jealous.
Bubble bath? Wow.
I take a bubble bath every single night.
Good for you,
good
D.
Good for you.
Yeah, I love it.
How many times do you wash your hair a week?
I'm originally from Texas, and I still say fixin' and y'all.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Fixin' to fall.
Yeah. Fixin' to fall, y'all. Bye. Yeah.
Bye, honey. D, my dad used to say, pick a finger.
Pick a finger, and you would pull it, and he would.
Well, no. It was a way of, like, you know. It's like saying, here's a quarter. He had all them saying, all those different sayings.
Oh, like
pick, here's a quarter.
Yeah, like, I don't care.
Call someone who gives a bleep, you know. But pick a finger. He wanted you to pick the middle finger.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, okay.
You know. Anyway, but he would say fanger.
Pick a finger.
Fanger.
Oh,
fanger.
Great. That's awesome.
All right. Thanks for sharing, Dee. And thanks for everyone. Dawn, what you taking off again when you get home tonight?
I I want to get in pajamas, but I really need I need to take my socks off. Like, I've got to get new. I put new socks on.
Yeah.
But I just feel like I need to change socks frequently.
Why?
Well, because in the wintertime, you're always wearing socks and, like,
you might get some foot fungus. I'm afraid of
that. Oh, so you want clean socks? No, that's good. Let them piggies breathe.
Yep, that's right.
You don't want them piggies to get wet. When we come back, Mike has been watching a program on the television called MILF Manor, and it's not pornography. He'll tell you about it because Dawn made him watch it.
That's true.
When we return right here on My Talk 107.1.
The Adventures of Bradley and Dawn on My Talk 107.1 Everything Entertainment. That includes tawdry TV reality shows as well.
Yes.
We don't just watch The Crown. We also watch trash.
We get MILFy.
Yes, and there's a new show on TLC called MILF Manor.
Oh, God.
And I have watched two episodes, and at first I was super uncomfortable, but then it was so weird
and
I couldn't stop watching. And then Mike has agreed to watch it.
Oh, yeah.
He texted us last night with some of his reactions.
He was like, April and Joey. And I was like, I don't know what he's talking about, but I bet it's MILF Manor.
Yeah, it is. So, Mike, what do you think?
No spoilers, Mike.
But you can say the one thing that is the reveal, which everybody knows.
The reveal that everyone knew coming up is the fact that the eight women that are there on the at the manor are greeted by their eight sons.
Why?
I don't know, but it is sure entertaining. My goodness.
So basically, these women show up to date sons, and they have to swippy swap. I mean, they don't date their actual son, but they have to watch their sons trying to hook up with other ladies, right?
They do have to room with them, though, which is a fun element.
So uncomfortable.
It is. It's going to be so,
Don't they have to, like, talk, like, oh, God, okay.
Like, Mom, can you go somewhere for a while? Because I need to talk to April for a second.
I think of my college days and, like, the whole sock on the door
no!
thing. Like,
what?
Mom shows up to go in, and she's like, oh, no.
Oh, my God. You really did that?
Yeah, of course.
I just feel like it has to be one of those relationships. This is perfect. You know, like those friends you had in high school whose parents smoked weed with them?
Yeah.
You like you have to have that kind of relationship with your parent, because otherwise, like, for example, I could never do this with
no.
my mother.
Absolutely
not. 100%. It would be so awkward. Well, also just because it's just the math wouldn't work. But you know what I mean?
Yeah. Right.
But what did you think as you watched the first two episodes?
What are your thoughts?
Well, the fun thing is, and they do a good job at first of when you're getting introduced to each one of these mothers, they give a little bit of a backstory to each one of them. And it's at first I was like, I don't know how this is going to be, because sometimes they went for the, you know, the heartstring pulling. Like,
oh,
there was
God.
One.
Well, Charlene.
So they lost her husband or something in a tragic way. And they just, you know, all these different ways and different stories. And then you got, you know, like Kelly, who shows up and she's like, oh, yeah, I got six kids. And of course, they're not all with the same men, and some people have a problem with that, and it's like, she's like, I'm not that boring that I would have that many kids with one man. Are you kidding me?
That's boring.
Else. That's what
she
said.
She's the real firecracker.
The firecracker. But it's fun because then you get the, so not only do you get like the normal infighting that you would in a reality show with a whole bunch of, you know, men or women that are like that, but then you also get the angle of, okay, mama doesn't like so-and-so dating this gal or wants him to stay away because they got a rivalry going on. So then mama's going to not let him get too far away from her. And then they're all partying and drinking at the manor and having a good time. And it's so good.
So what's the inevitable conclusion of this program? Is somebody walking away with a large check or true love, or like, how is this going to resolve itself?
It's just, I think, maybe you
the
can
the last MILF standing.
You can correct me, but I think it's just basically an opportunity for people to find love. I don't think there's actually like an end game to it or any prize.
Are people getting like shoved off the island in any way?
No one's being kicked off.
It's more of just a social experiment, I think, which I'm enjoying.
How long do we know this is going to last for? Is this like an 8-episode, 13-episode? Do we know?
Do you know?
I don't know. No,
because right now it's weekly.
Usually,
there's two episodes out. I looked on Hulu. You can only watch the second one. So if you want to see the first one, you have to have Paramount Plus, right?
No. This is TLC.
Discovery Plus. Yeah.
Which the best streaming service is Discovery Plus.
If you like reality TV,
but it has so many different things.
Like, yeah, I'm just saying it's that kind of television. Yeah. Like if you want to binge a reality show, I loved it for Unwrapped. It's great for my what are those people called? The not preppers, but homesteaders. Anyway, so it's got TV shows like that. So
History Channel.
You can watch the first two episodes on Discovery Plus. The mm-hmm. most recent episode is available on the Hulu.
That's right.
All these crazy alien stories can't be true, can they? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAP Podcast.com.
I'm Bradley Trainer,
and I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S. the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday, so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
Oh, my gosh. So what else? Any other thoughts about MILF Manor?
Oh, it's just such. It is definitely an example of, like, we sit here and we'll break down these really good shows. The Last of Us is a fantastic show. That's actually how this all came about. Last night, I've been doing the hard sell trying to get Sarah to watch The Last of Us.
And she won't, but she'll watch MILF Manor?
Well, it's a zombie thing. It's a scary thing. Got it.
I understand.
Not, yeah, she's not into the zombies. She's not into the scary. And
mushroom zombies, yes. Which is a whole nother level.
So yeah. it was down that road trying to talk her into that. And it was later at night. And she's like, I don't think I'm ready to start that episode. And I said, that's cool. Well, let's try this instead.
Did she like it?
It was one of those things where you're like, okay, I'm going to go to sleep. And she rolled over, but then she continued to turn back around to watch what was happening.
Like, what is
that?
And then
this morning, we literally spent 15 minutes me breaking down what happened in the second episode after she fell asleep. So
that's a good sign.
It's not good. We're aware of that, but it's fun to watch. It is fun and it's interesting. Oh, it is very much trash.
I'm all about good trash TV. Yeah. So MILF Manor.
Oh yeah.
What else have you been watching, either of you?
I have been catching up on. We'll have HBO Max for a while, and then we'll not have it because it's expensive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we try to like cram a bunch of stuff in all of our HBO Max watching. So, I'm watching. My Gilded Age experience got cut short, so I'm rewatching that.
Okay.
And I absolutely love it.
Isn't that like
Steve
Amazon
Baranski,
Prime?
That's HBO Max.
Oh, that is HBO mm-hmm. Max. Okay.
Yep. Christine Baranski is in it. Meryl Streep's daughter plays the main role.
Yeah.
She looks exactly like her when she was young. It's pretty uncanny.
Birdie, what's her name?
Her name is Louise Jacobson. She also has another daughter named Birdie, I think.
Not Birdie, but something like that. Yeah. Anyway. Okay.
That's what I'm.
So nothing new per se?
Gosh, no, but I really do want to try Abbott Elementary.
You should. Yeah. We just finished the first season last night, and I know it's network television, but there's a reason that that show was on fire and winning awards because it is just delicious. It is very Office/Parks and Rec.
Cool. And I love that.
Ish, great in thing terms to be of the to. Filming, yeah. right? Yeah, like, yeah. And because I was like, do I really want to watch a show about school?
It's mockumentary style.
But it is that mockumentary lens. But the writing, the writing is just hilarious. And the acting, these characters, and you'll fall in love with them.
Oh,
like you really do. And you know how you start to feel things, even if the like plot is not the funniest, you're just like, I just want to check in with my friends and see how they're doing.
Oh, that's really cool.
So that and Abbott Elementary, that's on Hulu. I think it's also on HBO Max, actually.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Yeah. I kind of get confused about what I'm just so lost as to what network shows are or what networks are. Merged with streaming services.
Yeah. It changes, honey, because now people, you know, who made the show, like maybe HBO Max made the show, but eventually they might sell it to another streamer. So don't even spend too much time. Just Google it.
Yeah.
Because truly, I will say we're all watching Last of Us. So if you want to get on that train, dear listeners, The Last of Us on HBO Max comes out every Sunday. So we'll get another episode on Sunday night with zombies.
Yeah.
All right. When we come back from TV shows. So MILF Manor, Abbott Elementary, and Mushroom Zombies. But when we return, we're going to talk about Spare. We're still reading Our Not a Book Club, Prince Harry's memoir. We'll give you all the latest on our thoughts when we return right here on My Talk 107.1.
Yeah, My Talk 107.1, Everything Entertainment, The Adventures of Bradley and Dawn. Thanks for joining us during this time where you might be a little sleepy at work. We're gonna pick your spirits up and get you back
wake up train.
The wake up train. Anyway, we're watching, we're listening, we're reading Spare. Wake we're not train. Watching it. I need help.
Yes, you do. It's okay.
We're listening to Spare and we're reading because I don't know what I'm talking about. The wake up train. It's not the morning.
I don't know.
And there is no train
station. It's literally 1:29. Yeah.
This is the time where I think people get sleepy at work. I might be wrong.
I think you maybe are you getting sleepy?
Maybe. Okay. No.
Here's the thing. This is our not a book club. It's really a book club. We're just list reading with our ears. Right. Also, I think Lori and Julia do an actual book club, so we have to contractually say it's not a book club. But anyway, we're all reading Spare with our ears. That's Harry, Prince Harry's memoir. And we are in the thick of it. Dawn is way behind, terribly behind.
Oh, boy.
No, I'm kidding. I know. But you are always concerned that you're not reading fast enough. But girl, there's no timeline. So, which is actually delightful because Mike has finished. I've still got a few hours left. Mm-hmm. We're all at different points in the story. So I know, I will tell you, I had to do a dental procedure yesterday, and so I was in the dentist chair for like an hour and a half, and so I got to listen to a solid hour and a half of that book, which I'm grateful for because it got me thick into the relationship that Prince Harry is having with Meghan, like how they met. And I will say it's just delightfully like pedestrian.
Yeah,
it's just like it's like any other relationship in our 20s, although with a royal and a celebrity. But it didn't feel like oddly. He just, for as out of touch as he is with us and our lives, it was bizarrely relatable to like anybody who's fallen in love. I will just say that of his experience as he's meeting, falling in love with Meghan. You will.
Yes.
But I know that even though I'm having that experience, you're over here having another experience.
I am. And I am thoroughly enjoying how passionate he was about being in the military because he wanted to serve his country and he wanted to help and he wanted to have a purpose. And it's a big portion of the book. Now, the paparazzi ruin everything, as we know. So this first go around, he was taken out of it because, you know, I don't know if you know this, if you haven't read the book, but when he was sent to war, when he was sent to, he was sent to Afghanistan, and the paparazzi were, the journalists were supposed to be hush-hush about where he was, but some tabloid in Australia did this story on it, and then another blogger picked it up, and then you had the Taliban saying, we're going to find you. They called him, I don't know, there was some code name or something that they called him, but they were like, we are going to destroy you and we're going to take down Prince Harry. And so it was not only was he in grave danger, but he was putting everybody else in danger, his whole unit around him.
So both of the times that he's been in, you know, gone to war, essentially, he's had to leave because either his cover's blown by tabloids or the Taliban or somebody gets wind of his presence and then he becomes a target, which
makes
rightfully,
other people,
or I shouldn't say rightfully so, but like understandably so in that he is a high profile figure in, you know, representative of the government to which these people are fighting against. So that blows his cover. So then he's forced to
leave and taken out of the mill. And he was absolutely crushed. He was absolutely crushed. And I was like, gosh, you know, this is nothing that you've heard about Harry at all. You know, he was committed to this and just really wanting to connect with soldiers who had been injured when he got back. And then he did some training to get back into the, you know, he's still, and of course, went through everything and is a member of the military, but he wanted to be back in the fight, in the war, and had he became a helicopter pilot. And so hearing all this stuff, I just love it. I love to hear how passionate he is about it in all of his training. And I know that it's been a little dull. Some people have sent me, you know, messages saying I could do without the military stuff. I'm like, oh, my God, that's what I'm loving because it makes him so human, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you need to be fascinated on every page of a person's memoir, because if that's the case, it's probably not true, because life is not always the most exciting thing page to page. I think he probably picked and chose as interesting items and parts of his life that he thought people would want to know. Mm-hmm. And some people maybe want to know more of the relationship stuff. Some yeah. people, like, there was a point at which I was like, when does he meet Megan? We talked a little bit about this earlier. Like, a lot, I think people are going to think Megan is a huge part of this book, and she's really not. She might be a crucial, critical part, an important part when she shows up. Mm-hmm. But in terms of just the like pure like number of pages she's mentioned on, it's very little, which I think is actually a good thing, because it sort of divorces us from this idea that he's, you know, completely yes. manipulated, and this entire experience is all because the, you know, the evil Megan, she's making so him silly. Do these things and leave his family. And it's like, no, actually, she shows up at a time when he's like, I'm out.
Yeah.
These people are awful. Not healthy.
No, no. So I become obsessed with, he loves to go to Botswana. His mother loved Botswana mm-hmm. and some of the surrounding countries whenever she was fighting the AIDS crisis in the 80s. And so he falls in love with Botswana. And so I am like, I need to know the river that he's traveling on all the time, up and down this river, and where he's staying in these, you know, safari tents and what, you know. So I was like, I could not wait to get home the day before yesterday to just, I didn't remember where Botswana was. Mm. Like, I'm sorry. I am not great with geography. It yeah. could be something I could learn in 2 days. I realize that, but well, it's just a fact. For. Yep. So anyway, I'm like, Botswana. Okay. Oh my gosh. It's so beautiful. And it's so lush. And it's like the Garden of Eden. And oh my gosh, this is gorgeous. And then I found inside the 1,000 pound a night safari camp, where he took Meghan Markle.
1,000 pounds as in British dollars.
As yeah. in, yes, yes. Not like 1,000 pound sisters on TLC, okay, which is another great show.
We're okay. not doing that.
All right. Now, so it looks like a resort. And of course, you're going to want to, like, he has slept out in the middle of the bush. Mm-hmm. Like, this guy is not afraid to sleep by a campfire and just not have anything fancy. But when you're taking somebody that you really like,
yeah. Meanwhile, he's also surrounded by like an incredible bodyguard. And, yeah. You know, living.
But it's the only place that he could ever go in his life where the paparazzi weren't there.
Yeah.
It was the military and Africa.
Yeah.
You know, so this is beautiful. I found this in Gentleman's Journal. And I'm going to put a link on our show page, and it's very fancy. It just has gorgeous tents where they have full size, like real beds inside. Of course, like it's all screened in. They have like beautiful artwork. They have indoor plumbing. It's just really
sure it's
gorgeous.
Amazing. Once you get to the part where he and Megan meet and they go on this trip, because it's kind of instrumental for those who know the story. And again, we're talking about Spare Prince Harry's memoir. He took her to Botswana at a moment in their relationship where he wasn't even really sure that this was like the one, even though I kind of got the impression, I don't know about you and Mike, let me know what you think. I just felt like he was trying really hard to get in a relationship, and luckily, I guess Megan showed up at the right time, but he was just like, it just reads as though he was like, I need a relationship. I need to do this now.
Oh,
like, did you feel that pressure, Mike?
I agree. Yeah, he definitely okay. he gives that vibe, and especially at that moment when they met. Like, no, I totally agree. Yeah,
you're kind of like, slow yeah. down. But it worked. You know, it worked for him. But anyway, they end up in Botswana, but they're traveling. Imagine like going on a first date to Botswana.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean,
and like you're going to be alone in the wilderness, in the bush.
Yeah.
With a person you've not spent any time with overnight.
Yeah.
And you're going to be your first experience.
That's right.
And there's like elephants and lions.
And then that. There's just the thing where I'm listening right now where I am at. He has already been to Botswana with Chelsea, who is his ex-girlfriend. So you've got that, like, did you take another girl here feeling about it? Like, that's, I think of that. Like, did you take your ex-girlfriend to this restaurant?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I did. I also took her. But Chelsea is from London, but well, she's originally from South Africa, Cape Town, South Africa.
Yeah.
And so that made sense for him. He actually met her in Botswana. And that's where he meets his friends who are filmmakers as well. So it makes sense that she would be there. But no, it's beautiful and lush, of course. So there's like a beautiful outdoor shower. I mean, but then you look over and there are elephants. So it's like definitely a posh thing for the rich.
Yeah, well, make sure you put the link up on the show page so people can daydream. And,
yes.
Because I'm sure it's ridiculously expensive and beyond my budget. But yeah, I would love to go there.
But you know what? If you just save up, you know, it might take you 5 years, but you can
You can go on an experience. You know, you can go on, like, see the animals for a lot cheaper and a lot more practical means. Yeah. Like, you don't have to live the high life. But if you want, it's there.
Right.
I was going to say, too, the one thing I really didn't believe about Meghan Markle, but reading the book, I'm like, okay, she really was like that. She did not really know anything about his family. Like, and we've heard this before, that Meghan Markle didn't really do a lot of research on, like, the royal family, or know who Prince Andrew was, or who, like, Prince Charles was. Like, didn't know the background. And he talks about her sort of naivete around the family. And I think a lot of people thought that was unbelievable. But as I was reading it, I was like, wow, she really didn't like spend a lot of time Googling him. And he was grateful for that, because it seemed like she didn't have these preconceived ideas about him that were implanted in her head like they have been for so many of us. Right. Like if you and I or Mike, if we met Prince Harry, I think we'd have all these stories in our head that she didn't have, which is so incredibly unusual.
Well, Mike was the same way, right?
And that's why I think, what is she, 40-ish? I think she's early 40s, around 40. But there's that generation where I just don't think, I don't know, the royals had absolutely, with the exception of me remembering when the crash happened with Princess Diana, that's the extent of any royal connection I've ever had in my entire life. I have never cared about it. I've never really had any, it's never been a big influence on me. It's not as big pop culturally as it was a few years prior
absolutely.
To that.
That and also what has been one of the signature criticisms of Meghan Markle is that she's like a, you know, climber, and she's trying to, you know, like date the most successful, or the, you know, that if that were the case, she would have known everything about him, because would she not have done all her research and all her.
Yes. And I've heard people, because I've said that too, about like she didn't really know, you know, people that hate her, and they are like, she's just pretending not to know. Like, they really are doubling down on believing that she's
but
evil.
The way he writes about it, and I would encourage people to actually read the book, the way he writes about it, it's clear to me anyway, that she wasn't making a huge effort to sort of, like, know everything, know all the right things. I mean, the first time she meets the queen, she's like, I don't really. And they're like, hey, quick, do this thing. And she's like, okay. But it's your grandma. And he's like, yeah, I know, but it's the queen.
But I bow to
her. But she
her
didn't
as well.
Quite understand that, right?
Who's that random bodyguard that just walked out of there? Oh, no.
Oh, that was Prince Andrew. Yeah. Like, but she's like, no, but clue. Who is the bodyguard that carried her bag around? And he's like, that's my uncle, Prince Andrew.
Oh, my God. That's great.
All right.
Oh.
So much more to come, and we'll share as we continue to read Spare. But when we return, Dawn is going to share with us a story. Nope. I'm going to share with you a story about Chelsea Handler, because she, this woman, did not realize she was on a certain drug, and that concerns me. I'll tell you why we return right here on My Talk 107.1.
But baby girl, I'm not blaming you. Just don't blame me too.
My Talk 107.1. Everything entertainment, the adventures of Bradley and Dawn.
Hey.
Hi, Bradley. What do you got for us here? Chelsea Handler is hilarious. She also is unaware of certain things that are happening in her life, and you're like, girl, pay attention.
Really awkward, this story. I read it, I was like, what? I need to understand. Well, she went on a podcast, and it's the Call Her Daddy podcast, Alex Cooper's hit podcast, which we've referenced before.
Yeah.
Because other celebrities had been on there and said interesting things. And this all had to do with Ozempic. You know this Ozempic business?
I have heard of it because Kyle Richards from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. There have been some pictures of her recently where she's just has zero body fat, and she looks ridiculously just fit. And people are like, oh, she's on Ozempic. Ozempic.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So this is a type 2 diabetes drug that, you know, the rumor is that everyone in Hollywood is on this drug.
Oh, my gosh.
Because it is also one of the side effects is weight loss. And so people are taking it simply to lose weight. Now, Chelsea Handler allegedly didn't know she was on Ozempic.
What?
Which you might find interesting because Ozempic is not like a pill.
Okay.
You inject yourself with Ozempic. So she didn't know she was injecting herself every week with Ozempic. And I thought to myself, how do you not know, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't that raise more questions than answers?
Yeah, it really does. Like, did you talk about how, oh, I wish I could lose weight? And your doctor's like, oh, I have a solution for you. Don't worry about it.
Well,
and then he goes on to go, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Here, take these vitamins. And then, oh, P.S., inject this.
So apparently she was joking on the podcast that her doctor just hands this medication out to anybody who's looking to drop a few pounds, which
what?
It's a good thing she probably didn't, or it's probably a good thing she didn't name her doctor. But she goes, I came back from a vacation and I injected myself with it. Again, she doesn't know what this is.
Why would you do that?
I don't know. And then she goes on to say, I went to lunch. And by the way, if you are one of those people who's like, I'm going to call my doctor and ask for Ozempic, just wait. She goes, I came back from a vacation, injected myself with it. How are you injecting yourself with something and you don't know what you're doing? Whatever. I went to lunch with a girlfriend a few days later and she was like, I'm literally not eating anything. I'm so nauseous. I'm on Ozempic. Then Chelsea notes, well, yeah, I'm kind of nauseous too, but I think it's just from jet lag after a month-long vacation to Spain. You know, like, this is the most celebrity lunch ever. Like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm not going to eat anything
today. I've never been
nauseous
from jet lag. I'm just tired.
I'm not going to eat anything today. Oh, yeah, I'm feeling kind of nauseous, too. Why are you nauseous? Well, I'm on this weird weight loss drug, even though it's not really meant for weight loss. And you're like, oh, well, I'm nauseous because I was in Spain for a month. Anyway, so this happens, and she does have a sense of humor about herself, even if she is one of the most, like, privileged humans. She goes, yeah, white privilege. So she was making fun of her own privilege. But, however, she goes on to say, she's having this conversation with the friend, and the friend's like, are you sure you're not on Ozempic? Because her symptoms sound very similar to the one this woman is having. And I just, like, this whole conversation, I want to be here for this conversation, right? I want to see how this all plays out. Because she's like, first of all, how do you think, like, oh, maybe you're on it? Well, you're having nausea, too. Are you on it?
Oh, my God.
And you're like, no, I'm not on it. And you're like, are you sure? And then she goes, well, I'm on semaglutide.
Okay.
So Chelsea Handler says to her friend, I'm on semaglutide.
Which I'd be like, what the hell is that?
What the heck is that? You're injecting yourself. That's Ozempic. That's just the, like, you know, Ozempic is just like Zoloft.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Sertraline would be the chemical name.
Right.
The retail name, of course, for a particular form of that is Zoloft, right? So the Ozempic is just the retail name or whatever they call it, right?
Oh, gosh.
And so she's like
Kleenex and, it's a brand.
So then she's like, oh, my God, I'm taking Ozempic, too. That's why I'm nauseous.
What?
Okay. Oh, my God. And again, they're taking it. Now, this is where I will give Chelsea Handler, I will cut her some slack. She goes on to say, I'm not on it anymore. I mean, I'm an irresponsible drug user, but I'm not going to take a diabetic drug. I tried it. I'm not going to do that. That's not for me. That's not right for me. Also, can I just tell you, if you're thinking of doing this for weight loss, I mean, you know, if it's like a diabetes thing, you do, you know, see your doctor. Don't take advice from us. However, Ozempic, in the story they talk about this, they go on to say, Ozempic is known to cause such side effects as, and list off all those heinous
diarrhea
side effects.
Diarrhea is number one.
Right? Nausea, vomiting, and facial aging.
What?
Celebrities in Hollywood.
Facial aging?
Facial aging.
And they're like, oh, no problem,
if you're
that's
taking
fine.
This drug for vanity, I would just like to alert you to the fact that one of the side effects is vanity.
Wow.
Right? Because, like, I'm pretty sure the people in Hollywood that want to inject themselves with this drug hoping to lose weight may not want the facial aging.
I've got to see the other side effects. I'm looking it up right now.
Oh, I'm sure there's like
just,
a thousand.
Just, you know, not to get too in the weeds with this, but, like, so you're taking a weight loss drug that's for a diabetic, but that's just... this is not good for your metabolism. These crazy things, like, it's just not. You're going to have a long road ahead of you after you're off the drug, losing weight, if it's dependent on this thing. And then your metabolism's
I love how you're being,
wacky.
Like, rational and healthy where
I know,
celebrities
I'm just
are
trying
concerned.
To say, like,
these people took all the sorts of cockamamie drugs. I'm sure there's people taking cocaine and speed to lose weight.
Oh,
so,
right. What am I saying?
I mean,
I'm so... Oh,
no,
yeah.
What you're saying is actually the right thing to say. I'm just saying that I don't think the celebrities are listening, because if celebrities were concerned about such things, they wouldn't be taking drugs away from, you know, diabetes patients
exactly.
to lose weight for their own vanity.
Right. I mean, what if there's a shortage of this drug and all of these people are just being prescribed it?
Well, exactly. I mean, there's a shortage of eggs right now, right?
Yeah.
Like, it would. I'm not saying the two are in any way related. I'm just saying, like, if there's a shortage of something, think twice. And at least Chelsea Handler said that. But I just feel like there's this sense in Hollywood that people are like, oh, well, you know.
Well, I deserve that. I mean,
I'm pre-diabetic.
Right.
Like, most of America is at this point, right? So, like, if you have a legitimate medical reason, great, talk to your doctor. But if you're just hoping to lose a few pounds, I have three words for you. Two, excuse me. Facial aging. Did you find any other side effects?
They were just the basic ones, like nausea, diarrhea, stomach pain, something else.
Don't you love when the side effect is like death?
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, for a vanity drug,
death,
especially if it's like for erectile dysfunction.
It doesn't matter what it's from. If death is a side effect, don't take it. Right?
Or death. Oh. When we come back, you need marinara sauce. Quick. What jar of marinara sauce are you grabbing? 651-641-1071. We'll get to that question when we come back.